I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
On this episode of The Heat Check, the NBA trade deadline has come and gone, and as I just predicted, it was quiet as a prayer vigil. A couple of interesting moves I will get into about the trade deadline with my guys from BetMGM tonight, but a special interview is also coming with my man Keith Smith. So do me a favor and drop that motherfucking beat that should be Rihanna. All right, so 1 year ago, I had to break away from a Super Bowl party in Arizona to record a podcast in the middle of the night because Kevin Durant got traded to the Phoenix Suns. I can't even tell you how insanely monumental that felt in the moment. And that came after another monumental trade a couple of days before that where Kyrie Irving, his teammate, got traded from the Nets to the Dallas Mavericks to play with Luka. That is trade deadline in a nutshell. That is what the best trade deadlines are. And this year, it was just like as boring as sitting through an organic chemistry class, which is actually more confusing than anything. Couldn't do it, flunked it, got out of it, whatever you might say. As I said, though, none of the stars being mentioned in the days leading up to the deadline got moved. None of them that were even expected to get moved were going to move me. Not DeRozan, not Zach LaVine, not DeJounte Murray, not Clint Capella, no Colin Sexton, not even Miles Bridges' toxic ass, who is apparently vetoing a trade to Golden State. What? Miles Bridges? You think you have the ability to veto a trade to a contender? Are we serious right now? So what we got was a whole lot of role players and disgruntled veterans getting moved. Well, I guess Gordon Hayward's not either one of those. He's like actually a pretty impactful player. He's not really a role player. He's not really disgruntled. He was actually happy in Charlotte. God bless him. How are two players on the Charlotte Hornets not wanting to leave that team? How dysfunctional is that team where they're like, it's just vibes and money out here. We're not trying to actually like go out and compete. Gordon Hayward is happy that he got moved to the OKC Thunder, but all of that to say, the two biggest moves were the Knicks trading just like basically nothing, just a bag of chips, a bag full of used tires, which actually you have to pay to get rid of. I don't know if you know that, but if you need to get rid of tires, you actually have to give someone money to get rid of. That happened to me. I think it was $12 a tire. And then if there's rims in the tires, I think it's like another $9 on top of that. So actually, for them to give a bag of used tires and get back Bojan Bogdanović, that tells you how much they fleeced the Detroit Pistons. Then they got a backup point guard in Alec Burks, who already played on the Knicks and Tibbs loves. OKC trades Trey Mann, Davis Bertans, Vasily Micic to Charlotte for the corpse of Gordon Hayward, who's actually been okay, 14 points per game. And in the second category of disgruntled players, God damn it, Anthony, help me out. Help me with this. Edit this out. A bunch of them got traded. Furkan Korkmaz, who later was waived. He has been begging for a trade, I think, like, publicly for 36 straight months. He finally gets moved to the Pacers, and they immediately say, see you later, head to the unemployment line. Then Buddy Hield goes to Philly. Spencer Dinwiddie, who hated being in Brooklyn, I think both times, got moved to Toronto for Dennis Schroeder, who was himself aggrieved after the RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley trade. He's like, yo, what the fuck? Cheers. He says, cheers. And then they, Toronto immediately waives Spencer Dinwiddie as well. So interesting shit there. The Mavs got P.J. Washington from Charlotte, who, if you recall, was the last man signed in free agency for Grant Williams, Seth Curry, and a first-rounder. And somewhere around the bend, probably in some awesome taco spot in L.A., P.J. Tucker is furious, punching air. We thought we had a full-on Om Young Music. Sounds like a DJ. Om Young Music article written about what they're going to do with P.J. Tucker's shoes, like 2,500 of them that are sitting there, maybe 250 of them. 250 of them. Anyway, it's a full garage full of shoes that the Clippers are navigating the logistics to get rid of in the arena that they store off-site for P.J. Tucker. An entire feature article about moving P.J. Tucker, lots of hours spent on that article reporting, I am sure, is completely useless because his shoes will not be moved. But that's about it. Pat Beverly got traded to Milwaukee for a second-round pick just 2 days after being told by Daryl Morey he was not getting traded, which is so Daryl Morey, isn't it? Like, Daryl Morey is a scumbag. Like, no shade to Daryl Morey as a human, but as a GM, he gives zero fucks at all. He will lie straight to your face and then later be like, yeah, I do that. That was the one thing that James Harden, I couldn't understand. Did Daryl Morey just lie to everyone else and never lie to James Harden? And like James Harden thought he was immune to the Daryl Morey lies because remember, James Harden, Daryl Morey is a liar. And I'm like, yeah, I thought we all knew that, James. I thought we all knew that. Also, the Wizards send Daniel Gafford to Dallas for Rashawn Holmes. For some reason, the Jazz traded Kelly Olynyk and Oshae Okpaji to Toronto for Kyra Lewis. What is up with Kyra Lewis, the trade chip? Otto Porter, who hasn't played a game in 2024, and a first-round pick, so you know what time it is there. He said, I don't give a fuck about Oshae Okpaji. I care about first-round picks. Dougie Buckets returns to Indiana from the Spurs. A lot of reunions. I feel like Doug McDermott is going to help this team. Listen, like, you get to Indiana, and you're basically Buddy Hield for cheaper, which I like a lot. That's it, folks, unless you're a fan of Delano Banton. Which, actually, somebody was talking about how the Celtics made all these moves at the deadline. And I respect this man, and I like this man. But my initial thought was, what are you, like, some sort of Delano Banton stan? Because outside of Xavier Tillman, the Celtics didn't do a lot at all. But I let him continue down the path of how the Celtics got so much better at the deadline. Simone Fontecchio, Thad moved. Thad Young get moved as well. The day's big winner is obviously the New York Knicks. They get Bojan Bogdanović, who the Pistons apparently didn't want to get rid of for years, but they figure out a way to fleece him. Alec Burks. And then Quentin Grimes, Malachi Flynn, who just came over from Toronto, actually, in the OG Anunoby deal. finally, Evan Fournier is moved. We've been waiting on that. And Ryan, here we go. Archie Diacono, who I've practiced enough times now to say in one take. So that's it. And I think Knicks fans are very sad about the Ryan Archie Diacono move. I think they're actually more sad than they are happy that they get Bojan Bogdanović, a sniper who can shoot 40% from three and a backup point guard. They're like, but what about Ryan? But what about Archie? Like, chill out. The Knicks now have five guys that shoot 40% from three. That is the most in the NBA. They acquired OG Anunoby, Bojan, and Burks without giving one first-round pickup. That is some real OG shit. And I don't mean OG Anunoby. I mean like real G, like original gangster shit. They will have $60 million to spend in free agency this summer. So you watch out for the Knicks. Oh, my goodness. The big loser on the day. No. Let me say it again. The big loser in the NBA for the year, including today, is the Detroit Pistons. God, they really do stink at everything. They stink at evaluation. They stink at development. And they stink at trades. They stink at basketball. They stink at everything except for their in-arena vibes. The vibes for Little Caesars are top tier. Honestly, the vibes at Little Caesar are better than Madison Square Garden. I kid you not. Anyway, they trade Bogdanović, Alec Burks, Monty Morris for Troy Brown, former Oregon Duck, Shake Milton, Ryan Archie Diacono, RIP, Malachi Flynn, Quentin Grimes, Evan Fournier, and 3 second round picks. Let it sink in. Let it just sink right in. In other words, they turned a starter and 2 rotation players into 1 rotation player and a bunch of G Leaguers and buyouts. That is gross. That is unreal. What the fuck, Pistons? What the fuck, Troy Weaver? What a terrible, terrible year it's been. They apparently already turned down 2 first-rounders for Bojan, and then they get a second-rounder for him. This is just malfeasance. We'll get more into this, I'm sure, soon. If you think that the tea is over, it is not. We enter buyout season, and there are now more key figures who can help teams, like Daniel House, Spencer Dinwiddie. Did Robin Lopez get waived, or did he not? I don't know. I thought he went to the Kings. He did get waived. Yep, he got waived. To help me make sense of this, we had a reaction roundtable on my other show, BetMGM Tonight, which I have clipped for you here. BetMGM Tonight is my nightly betting show, which does take away from my heat check responsibilities. And that appears, it does pay me though. It appears on the radio in most major markets from 7 to 11, as well as on Twitch and YouTube Live. It was recorded live from Mandalay Bay, which the heat check probably isn't sending me to for the Super Bowl. So good shit. Let's get into it.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds dog food and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, we had ourselves a very active NBA trade deadline today. Not necessarily big, big names getting moved, but I think some impactful moves that really made made a difference for quite a few teams, guys.
Yeah, I love this Knicks move. I love Bojan Bogdanovic. They needed a backup point guard as well. I was surprised that they didn't go after Jordan Clarkson, was definitely in the rumor mill. Also, OKC not getting a big man, sort of surprising because, listen, Daniel Gafford was out there. Kyle Kuzma was available. You had a bunch of other big men. You know, you saw Xavier Tillman got moved to the Celtics as well, but they did nothing. They ended up getting Gordon Hayward instead. So that's fascinating to me.
If they would have got Kyle Kuzma, I probably would have bet them to win the championship, to win the finals. Really small, you know.
You love some Kuz.
Another score?
Yeah.
Kuz.
Another bucket getter, though?
Who can shoot the three, too?
He can shoot the three, and he could rebound a little bit. And so, yeah, I would actually love that pickup. Was he really on the – I didn't see anything with him. He was on the market?
Kuzma?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. The Wizards
– Is just everybody always on the market?
Well, the Wizards, obviously, I mean, they get rid of Gafford. They're trying to sell. That front office is trying to completely gut that thing and start from scratch. Look, the NBA, we know when it comes to trades, player movement, it's a different animal. But I think going into this day, right, the thought was some of the biggest names have already been moved, but there were impactful players. We talked about Bojan Bogdanovic and the Knicks a little bit, but
huge.
I think even, you know, Gordon Hayward going to the Thunder, they're all in. Patrick Beverley, the Bucks get somebody that can actually play defense for a change. Like, these little moves, they may not be big stars, but they could have a major impact on teams once we're looking at, you know, playoff time. That's what really matters to some of them right now.
Yeah, I thought that an interesting one that hasn't really been talked about a lot was Buddy Hield to the Sixers.
Yes.
They were one of the worst three-point shooting teams in all of the NBA. And now they get somebody that is going to take some pressure off of Tyrese Maxey, because if you can't get a definitive three-point guy, then why wouldn't you just collapse on Maxey and make his life very difficult? So apparently Buddy's been trying to get to the Philadelphia for years now. So that's great. And then the Pacers end up getting, you know, some picks, 3 second round picks, Marcus Morris. Marcus Morris is like an interesting, who knows how he ends up working out there. Dallas, though, I thought did a lot. Dallas gets PJ Washington. Dallas gets Daniel Gafford. That's pretty damn good,
Let's
dude.
Let's go. You know what that means. MVP.
Luka.
All we need. Do you think that makes them a playoff team?
Yes.
They needed that depth. They needed that big
PJ Washington's actually a good player.
Yeah.
I like that. I know also Spencer Dinwiddie just got waived. So he got traded to the Raptors and has been immediately waived. I think Spencer Dinwiddie goes back to Dallas.
Yes.
They love him there. He loves it there. That's a perfect spot for him. He was a great sixth man off the bench, had some really impactful games in the playoffs when they went to the Western Conference Finals. So they'll get him as well. So they'll end up having, you know, Daniel Gafford to be a backup big or a starting center, depending on where Derek Lively is in terms of his health. You end up getting PJ Washington, you get rid of Grant Williams, which is hilarious to me, and then you probably get
already
Spencer Dinwiddie, which is great.
Yeah.
So I don't understand what the Raptors or the Pistons are doing, because I get that the Jazz wanted to get rid of Kelly Olynyk because he was on an expiring, and they're collecting picks. But why would the Raptors want Kelly Olynyk? But why would the Raptors want to pay a first-round pick for Kelly Olynyk and Oshae Akpaji? That's kind of crazy to me. And the Pistons.
Did they just want the cap space, you think, though, at the end of the season? Is it based more on cap space and not draft picks?
Maybe
and
they
assets?
Like Oshae Akpaji.
Maybe.
They need a point guard, and they get rid of Dennis Schroeder as well. So I think they're tanking. Detroit, though, Detroit makes no sense. They turned one starter, Bogdanovich, and two rotation players, Monty Morris and Alec Burks, for one rotation player. And they didn't even get a first-round pick out of it. And Bogdanovich was supposedly being offered – they were being offered two first-round picks for Bogdanovich, and they turned it down. So I have no clue what the Pistons are even thinking right now.
Would you guys say that the Knicks and Mavs are the two teams that helped themselves the most at the deadline, or would you put anybody else in that category?
Celtics helped a lot as well. I thought that the Xavier Tillman pickup was impactful, and I think they need another backup big too. So, yeah, I think they helped. But, yeah, in terms of, like, multiple moves, I think, yeah, it's Dallas and it's New York.
Yeah, I feel good about the Luka MVP now with Dallas if they could get to that 5 seed. And then I know you hit on it. I like what the Bucks did with Pat Bev, though. I like that pickup. An on-ball defender, and he's a tough dude. And I think him and Giannis will actually get along, and it's a great storyline because now him and Dame have to play with each other. Oh, I like the reaction when he found out. He's like, oh, yeah, you know.
Rock the baby?
Yeah. So I think that'll be fun to watch, and I like that for the Bucks. I mean, it's not going to, like, put them over the top. I still would like Boston more if they were to meet in a 7-game series, but they needed some defensive help, and they needed some toughness.
Do you think that then they play Dame and Pat Bev at the same time? That's pretty, like, undersized. That's an undersized front court or back court.
I don't think you can you? Maybe. No, probably not.
Pat Bev and Dame, you might have to because Dame's such a liability defensively. It's like you go small, but at least Patrick Beverley plays bigger than he actually is. So I guess there's that advantage there.
Yes.
But he's, you know, you just need that. Like, teams need that toughness. He is that guy, right, that you don't want to play against, but you want him on your team.
Right.
He wants
and that's
win.
Where the Bucks are. Yeah.
No, and that's what the, yeah, exactly. That's what the Bucks need. The Bucks don't need another ball-dominant guard or another guy that they got to get, like, 8 to 10 field goal attempts for a night. They need a guy that's going to go out there, play some defense. And there'll be nights probably where he goes out there and plays, like, 16 minutes, and then some nights he'll play 30-plus. That's the other thing. I think it'll depend on matchups, you know? With him and Dame on the floor. I can't wait to see it, though. Now is when the season gets exciting for me. The first couple months, especially with, like, load management and whatnot, it's, like, kind of hard to get into because you got football and you also have college hoops.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, now is when it gets really good after the trade deadline, in my opinion.
Are the Mavs going to be good enough still? Even with these trades that they made today, they added some of the depth that they needed.
Yeah.
We know that Luka's putting up the numbers to be considered an MVP. But that's the difference between that award and so many other ones. You got to win games, too. Now, if Kyrie stays healthy and is actually out there playing, they should be a team that's at least out of the play-in, and that could be some level of an advantage there because Joel Embiid's not going to be eligible this year, and Nikola Jokic has just won it a bunch of times, and there's going to be voter fatigue there, so that could work in his advantage. It's just tough, man. You really have to be a team that's like a top two, top three in a conference to really get the votes that you need to win MVP.
Yeah, and the value for Shea is kind of gone.
Yeah.
And I ended up I'm in like a friend's prediction pool, and Shea was one of my picks for MVP. I kind of went back and forth between that, and I want to say Jokic, but that was like, this is my sleeper pick. But I didn't bet any money on him. The number, I think, was 18 to 1 to start the year. It might have been even longer than that. Shea was well down the board. You know, Luka was obviously one of the top. Giannis, AD was even up there. You know, Jokic, Embiid. So I think he was like probably 9th, 10th in terms of odds. But yeah, I still like the Brunson look depending on how long it takes for him to get back. But it went from 50 to 1 to 60 to 1 in the last 24 hours. Mm-hmm. So, you know, something's clearly going on where the odds are lengthening.
They had guys like a Josh Hart going out there and contributing and stepping up and even playing bigger roles and more minutes when Julius Randle went down. And obviously Mitchell Robinson, who they lost at the beginning of the year. Like, the Knicks are actually really decimated by injuries.
Yeah.
And they're still winning games. That's a testament to your guy, Tibbs. That's a testament to the depth that they have and the type of culture that's there, honestly.
For sure. This is the most fun the Knicks have been in a long, long time. Speaking of injuries, is Gordon Hayward, like, right? Or is he going to play?
I think at some point, what they may be doing as well is just getting guys off of their roster and doing the Gordon Hayward reclamation project like they did Al Horford, like they did Kemba Walker. I'm not sure when he's going to be back. He's missed a lot of time.
Yeah, he hasn't played since December, I don't think. Yeah, it's been December. That's the last time he was on the floor.
I think 23 hours ago, the Charlotte Observer was thinking he was very close to being back, but
I mean, adding him healthy to that roster.
That's what I mean.
It's a big deal. Yes.
Yeah.
He's a legit wing, and people forget how good he was at not just putting the ball into the hoop, but a good defender as well. Good 3-point shooter, which, let's be honest, like that's what the Thunder needs.
We're at the point now where Luka's going to start looking around. I think we're going to start having rumblings this offseason about Luka not being happy.
I heard some rumors.
Oh, what'd you hear?
I hear that Luka might want, well, that Luka really wants to play with Lauri Markkanen. And so Danny Ainge is trying to make some moves to get Luka to Utah, which, let's be honest, that would be great for Utah. And Luka probably doesn't care. Luka probably doesn't care about where he plays. It's all America.
Damn.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
We also have a special guest to help make sense of the NBA trade deadline. Keith Smith, the genius from Spotrac and longtime NBA insider, joined BetMGM tonight as well to break down all the trades of the day. Keith is super informative, so let's jump right into it.
We bring on Keith Smith, who I'm sure has had a very busy day. Spotrac, the front NBA front office show as well. I can imagine today was, as it was really with like every NBA trade deadline, there's keeping track of all the moves and then trying to figure out what moves actually made the most sense for what team. So let's look at who improved the most just today, in your opinion, when it comes to the deadline.
I think it's probably the Knicks. I think that making that move made a lot of sense no matter what. But with the news that came out after that OG Anunoby is going to be out at least 3 weeks after elbow surgery, that makes that pickup of Bogdanovich that much more important. They're already without Julius Randle for at least probably 2-3 more weeks. So now you get Bogdanovich. He was going to be a nice fit as a backup forward. Now he'll be a really key player in their starting group. He's going to help Jalen Brunson quite a bit because he can still really score. He can do a lot of stuff with the ball. He's also very good off ball as well. So he'll fit in nicely when Randle returns. And then getting Alec Burks is not nothing. That's a nice pickup too. They gave up Quentin Grimes in the trade, a couple draft picks, but it's still a really good addition for them because Grimes had kind of fallen out of favor after some of the other moves. He wasn't playing as well in a backup role. He needs to be somewhere he can play a lot, so that'll be Detroit. And the Knicks got a lot better today.
I'm really kind of curious about what Detroit is doing because there were rumors that Boyan was, you know, worth 2 first-round picks, and they said no. And now the Knicks – they don't even have to give up 1 first-round pick to get him and the backup point guard going back home to the New York Knicks. And they basically get rid of, you know, they turn a starter 2 rotation players into just 1 rotation player. Sort of stunning.
Yeah, I think for Detroit, we've now seen that they're resetting. They'd kind of taken the approach the last 2 years or so of, hey, we don't want to trade all our vets because we're trying to be good. We want to be a good team within the next year or so. And now I think they've more leaned into, all right, hey, we're not going to bottom this thing out and completely start over, but we're going to lean into the kids a little bit more. And I think some of these moves were the idea behind, hey, let's get some younger guys in here. Simone Fontecchio, they picked up yesterday in a trade. He's going to help them because he can shoot the ball. Well, we'll see how they continue to fill out this roster. I think it's far from done, but getting a guy like Quentin Grimes is pretty good. They did some stuff that makes sense. They should have, by my calculations, about $60 million in cap space next summer, which should lead the league, which is absolutely massive. So they'll be able to do a lot of stuff and put themselves in a position to maybe take a Rockets like step forward, like what the Rockets did this year. And then I think the kind of underrated move a little bit was they waived Killian Hayes. And I equated that to the Moneyball move of you can't play Pena. Because that's kind of what was going on there. He's playing way too much for a guy who just wasn't very good.
Keith, what are your thoughts on the Pat Beverly to Milwaukee pickup, that trade? I thought Trista asked a good question in the first segment. Can you play him and Dame on the floor at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to find out. Do they even get along, right? Pat Bev came out immediately after and said, I got to fix my relationship with Dame. So clearly that's a couple guys who have not gotten along. But that's like 85% of the league with Patrick Beverly at this point, I feel like.
Yeah.
I think you can probably play them together. Beverly's not the defender he once was. The challenge there is if the other team has any kind of size at the guard position, you may struggle a little bit. I liked campaign for them. I thought he was doing a pretty good job for the Bucks as the backup to Damian Lillard, but they decided they wanted to get more defense in there, and that's something where they've really been struggling. This is a guy Doc Rivers knows quite well and Patrick Beverly, so he gets him back on the floor with him for another run here, and they're trying to do their best, they think, to gear up and go after it. And then they did a tax-saving move by salary dumping Robin Lopez, who had the tweet of the day of how much he's always going to cherish his 45 minutes or whatever it was that he was on the roster with Patrick Beverly.
Do you think that we're going to start to see fewer teams be aggressive at deadlines, given the new CBA and the salary cap and what we're talking about, you know, the first apron, the second apron, and all the restrictions that that now brings to teams that are up against those?
I think the second apron teams are going to be less aggressive just because they won't have the ability to add salary in trades. They'll be in a really tough spot with that. So I think that's part of what the idea was when we introduced these second apron rules. They won't be able to just jump in there and add all kinds of guys and do the stuff we've seen some of these teams do in the past. I think the bigger challenge is Bobby Marks from ESPN has repeated this a handful of times over the last couple of weeks. 11 teams, so roughly a third of the league, control 75% of the future draft picks. So there's just not a lot to trade. Like, we're in a really tricky spot with draft picks. So that's a major, major challenge. And I think that's going to kind of keep the trade market maybe potentially a little limited. We've already heard a handful of teams, the Los Angeles Lakers being one of them, who maybe didn't make a move because they'll have more draft capital to trade in the summertime. And maybe that's when they'll make their big move. So we're in just a weird spot.
You talk about draft picks. Nobody has more draft picks than the OKC Thunder. Could have been a time for them to maybe get a backup big or just a big in general to pair with Chet Holmgren. There was Daniel Gafford out there. There was Xavier Tillman out there. And instead they go to the direction to get Gordon Hayward, who's coming off of injury. I like the Gordon Hayward pickup, but I feel like they could have made a move to increase their front court size.
Yeah, I've been kind of beating that drum for a little while of getting somebody who I thought it was really important to get a guy that could play with Chet as well as back him up. Like, I thought a really reasonable target for them would have been John Collins, had the Jazz wanted to move him, because I think he would have made a lot of sense in Oklahoma City. The thing, though, that what I got told is the Thunder like playing with one big on the floor, and they like the way they can spread teams out and attack off the dribble and have a bunch of different guys who can do stuff. And if you look at it that way, Gordon Hayward makes a lot of sense for them. Now, the question is going to be, will Gordon Hayward be healthy enough to get on the floor? But if you're the Thunder, it's kind of a no risk kind of thing, because they're in a spot where it was, all right, where we could take a chance. We traded one kind of rotation guy in Vasily Micic in this deal, and that was really it. So why not take a chance on Gordon Hayward, see if he's a good fit here, and move it forward. So they're pretty well loaded, even if they didn't get another big.
Gordon Hayward helps them with the three-point shooting. How do you think that this team matches up, though, in the West with, say, a team like Denver or a team like the Timberwolves, where they've got a lot of size and a lot of front court support?
Yeah, I think with the Timberwolves, what they would say is, how do the Timberwolves match up with us? Who is Cat going to guard in this matchup? Can he stay with a guy like Jalen Williams off the dribble? Now, what I think teams were going to do in the playoffs, we saw Boston do this to them in their regular season matchup. They'd put the big on Josh Giddey and like Giddey shoot. And if Josh Giddey beats you shooting the ball, you tip your cap and you move on. I think so. Now getting Hayward, he comes in if that's the treatment he's getting, and you're in a little bit of different place. With Denver, that was always going to be a tough matchup. It's really hard to match up with the Nuggets. I think what you do is you try to be the best version of yourselves, force them to play you a little bit, and do what you can. And I think Oklahoma City's also being very realistic and saying, hey, we're probably a year ahead of where we should be right now, so we need to be very smart about how we handle this going forward. I think we're kind of in almost a two-year window for them to do big things, so I would extend that out to this summer and through next trade deadline before you have to start extending other guys and the team starts getting really expensive.
After the trade deadline today, who do you feel is the best team in the league? Is it still Boston, the most complete team?
I think so. I think they've kind of got everything you need. They've got really good functional depth. They've got 6, 7, 8 guys they feel really good about. They're not going to overwhelm you when they go to their 11th, 12th guys, but you don't need those guys in the postseason. So as long as they get there healthy, and the fact that they've built such a big lead, they're up 5 games in the East going into tonight, and they have the second easiest schedule the rest of the way. That should afford them the ability to kind of rest guys, spot them rest, because their big thing is going to be they need to get to April, May, June as healthy and rested as possible, especially with guys like Kristaps Porzingis and Al Horford, who are really important players, Drew Holiday, an older player. They want to make sure those guys are ready to go. And I think by building this big lead and having such an easy schedule, that gives them a place to really push forward with team that should be really, really solid, and they've kind of got what they needed. But the big thing is, it's now or never for this team. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting. It's time to break through and finish the job.
That is something Ryan has talked about so many times, Keith, because this guy has bet the Celtics more times, I think, than he wants to count at this point, winning a title.
Yeah.
Hey, what about the other side of things in the Western Conference here? I mean, we got the Warriors, 2 games under 500. Lakers are the 9 seed right now. They're 2 games over 500, but both, you know, really underachieving, and clearly expectations are title or bust for the Lakers. And even though the Warriors have, you know, become an older team, they're still thinking something along the lines of a title. Are these teams that are really in danger of missing the playoffs now?
Yeah, I think the Warriors are, especially because they've still got to jump in to the play-in mix. And we'll see with the Lakers. The scary thing for the Lakers is they're sitting where they're sitting. They've had LeBron and AD almost all year. So that's the one worry with them, is if those guys pick up the injuries that they tend to pick up, they could be in trouble. And I think that was part of why the Lakers and Warriors did not go all in on trades at this trade deadline. I think they both looked at it and said, you know what, there's nothing out there that's going to be a slam dunk guarantee we push forward in the postseason. So why are we going to do it right now? Maybe we're better off holding off a little bit, see what we got, and moving forward that way.
What about the Sixers? Because they obviously needed shooting. Buddy Hield's been wanting to go to Philadelphia for a while. Embiid news looks like it's going to be at least a month, maybe 6 weeks. Do you think that helps them tread water until Embiid gets back? And when he gets healthy, say right before the postseason, like, where do you put the Sixers now in the East?
Yeah, Trista, I've seen your jump shot. They've got a lot of open roster spots. You might want to give Daryl Morey a call right now, because I don't even know who's still left on that team, especially healthy players. Like, they did a lot of stuff today with moving guys on and off the roster. But Buddy Hield's going to help a lot. I think while Embiid is out, they're going to play really fast with Tyrese Maxey. Hield's already used to that. That's what he's been doing in Indiana all along. So I think they're going to really, really go and run. And then I think when Embiid gets back, Hield's fine with them too. Their question is going to be, do they have enough depth to get through? They didn't do anything to get a big in there. I thought, you know, maybe Andre Drummond might go there or something like that. But they kind of, you know, ran it forward with Hield and didn't do a whole lot else. They're going to be major players on the buyout market, and I think they'll be in on just about any reasonable name that comes free, because they've got open roster spots. They've got playing time, which is big for those guys on a team that, if Embiid gets back, they're a title contender.
Got about 90 seconds, Keith. The belle of the ball was obviously DeJounte Murray. He does not get moved. Do the Hawks want him for good, or is this just like a couldn't get a deal done thing?
Yeah, what I was told shortly after the trade deadline is that they got close on some stuff. It was just too hard with roster constraints and without a cap space team to maybe move some other money to. So I think what you're going to see is the Hawks and maybe the Pelicans, maybe the Lakers, a couple teams that they were really engaged deeply on talks with, look for them to re-engage with those teams in the summertime when it's just that much easier because you have the expanded rosters, you have cap space teams that maybe can eat a contract that Atlanta didn't want to take back. Just a lot easier to make trades then. So I don't know that DeJounte Murray is a long-term Hawk, but I think for now it's they're going to keep him and they're going to see what they can do and try to be a dangerous team in the play-in tournament.
That's all the time that we have for this episode of the Heat Check. Thanks to my guys, Ryan Horvath and Nick Achu. Rhymes with Cashew on BetMGM tonight. Huge thanks to my man, Keith Smith, for all of his insight as well. Come back Monday for an all-new episode. Check out the feed for past episodes and mini episodes, which will drop unexpectedly like a slot machine payout or you paying the slot machine at the Aria. Do not forget to follow the Heat Check all season long post deadline. That means download. That means subscribe. That means tell your friends. Even that dude trying to spit game at you at the Aria, tell him, listen, when you say, hey, you've got a Victoria Beckham vibe, I say, I keep listening. That comparison is a fire line. You're not hollering to any end, but continue to speak. I will listen. Listen to the Heat Check podcast. Follow us on social, which I made him do. At this Heat Check and at Trista Crick on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. I don't give out phone numbers. I give you my Instagram. Holla. All right, we'll see you guys next time.